Welcome everyone to my show, my podcast. Glad you can join me. This is episode 4 of The Final Point. Lot to get into. We're getting ready for the playoffs. Playoffs is going to be interesting. Right now, a lot of teams are somewhat tied. So what we're seeing now is teams are actually looking to either get like an 8th seed, 7th seed. It's just all about positioning. I mean, we know who's going to make the playoffs now, but it's all about positioning. And that's where we are right now for the last maybe 5 or 4 games or whatever it is. A couple of things. The NBA, let's talk about that. Looking at the 8 teams in the Western Conference, the West is going to be extremely, extremely tough and different. And I say that because if you look at it, like the Clippers are a 6th seed, they're playing Portland. Now, that's going to be a very interesting series just because if you look at the Clippers, if you break it down, look at what happened as far as their team. You had Chris Paul, you had Blake Griffin, you had DeAndre Jordan, you had a couple of other players on the team, a couple of role players, but we're talking about their big three. They traded all of them away, and now you have a young, strong team that's a 6th seed. I think they probably would have been higher had they kept Tobias Harris. So, to me, because I like Tobias Harris, you know, but they felt that was a move they needed to make. I didn't see how much better they got after trading him. I know they got Zubac from the Lakers. I just didn't see how much better that trade made them. I mean, they're still, from a competitive standpoint, they're still competitive. But I just didn't understand how much better are they without Tobias Harris. I can understand if you make that trade and you get a guy that's fairly better, maybe defensively, maybe offensively. But I just don't see how much better they got. When you look at Portland, Portland lost their big guy. And I know that was a setback for them because that guy really played well. Zirkic. That guy played really, really well for them. Down low, he was really, really tough. So now they have to rely on Enes Kanter. And I don't know who's going to be the backup for Enes Kanter, but he has a lot of playoff experience. He wasn't in the playoffs with the Knicks, but he was with the Thunder. So he knows what it takes at this magnitude in the playoffs and how important each game is. I think we're going to find out from, if you look at Portland, we're going to find out how good Portland is. We're going to find out. And I like the playoffs because you find out that when teams are seeded, how overrated they become. So you may have Portland, but if they don't come to play against the Clippers, guess what? They're an overrated 3 seed in the West. Or they're an overrated 4 seed in the West. Houston, it doesn't matter. Teams like Houston, teams like Golden State, Utah, to me it doesn't matter what seed they play or what seed they get. We know what they come to do. Utah's a 5 seed. Utah has to play extremely well. Portland has to play extremely well. If you look at all 7 teams, let's look at that. All 7 teams. If you look at all 7 teams, you got to ask yourself, how many of those teams can beat Golden State right now? I can't tell you one. I can't tell you one team right now that can beat Golden State out of all 7. Is it possible? Absolutely. Everything is possible. But 5 superstars, 4 out of the 5 easily is going to score double digits. 4 out of 5. Draymond Green's not going to get you 20 points. But Draymond Green is going to get you some. He's going to give you some defense. He may give you a block shots, but you can count on those rebounds. Everybody plays a key part in this run. Now, is it going to be tougher for the Warriors? I think so. For this reason. Teams are going to compete. And the Warriors are going to have to earn those wins. They're not going to just come into a series and actually just run through OKC or run through Portland. So the Warriors have to be on point every single game. And the thing about the playoffs is this is not the regular season. So every game matters on the road, at home, every game matters. So right now, the only threat that OKC has is Westbrook, because Westbrook is the guy that is going to give you a triple-double almost every night. If you look at his stats, there's not one point guard that's going to give you 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 20 points. I think it was last night, he gave you 20 points, 20 assists. He gave you a 20-20. So that was a triple-double. Like, who does that? Like, if after that performance, if he's not an arguable, or at least in the conversation as far as MVP right now, you're out your mind. And I'm not taking nothing away from James Harden, but I mean, you got to be joking if this guy's not up there. You have to be. And even like in my mock, even in like my fantasy drafts, I'll always go with Westbrook. That's like if I had to draft today, Westbrook is the number one player on my board right now. And people say, man, over LeBron James, over KD, yes, because you can build around a point guard. You can add pieces to it, and you see it as you do the fantasy. You can add and build and so on and so forth. I was watching Kyrie Irving last night. They were playing the Heat. Home game. And I seen Kyrie Irving do this step back and knock the shot down. And as I was watching him play, I said, wait a minute. I said, if Kyrie doesn't have a great game, Boston's in trouble. Because Gordon Hayward is not going to do anything. I mean, when you really watch these games, it's like, man, if Kyrie goes down, if he doesn't play well, if he misses shots, I don't care who they're playing. Doesn't make a difference. In the playoffs, wow. If he doesn't play well, Boston is in trouble. And I mean, they're going to be on the ropes. And they could be upset. When you look at, I believe I just saw it when I woke up this morning, that the Sixers signed Greg Monroe for the playoffs, which I thought was huge because he can help out Embiid, and that's another big body down low. So now they're even bigger, stronger down low, and they got a guy with playoff experience. Philly's going to be tough. Philly's going to be very, very tough. If you thought they were tough last year, they're going to be very tough. And the reason why I say that is because they added Jimmy Butler. They didn't have Jimmy Butler last year. So I think offensively, defensively, right now they're the best team in the East, and they're going to come out. And I would be surprised if they don't make the NBA Finals. I would be very surprised. Very surprised. I know a lot of people talked about the Lakers and said, hey, you know, this is a failed season. They should have traded LeBron James. No, they shouldn't have. Magic Johnson made a mistake as far as the trade, and Lonzo Ball went through some issues with his health and some financial issues. I think next year, this is a different basketball team next year. They're going to probably have the same team. They're just going to add another superstar. And they're going to be a healthy Lakers team. And then now we're talking about them being a fourth seed or third seed. They will make the playoffs next year. That's for sure. I'm telling you now. LeBron James is a competitor. And he's not going to rest until this team gets to a championship. I would spend whatever it costs to keep a guy like that on my team. Because that's how Kobe Bryant was. Kobe Bryant wouldn't rest until he got to where he wanted to be. And you got to admire that. But the Lakers will be back next year, and they will be ready to go. Now, what fans should be worried about is the Warriors going to be the same team next year? Not worrying about the Lakers, but worrying about Golden State. Because I see a lot of Golden State fans that wasn't fans before. Now I'm starting to see these Kings fans reemerge, but when the Kings wasn't very good or even had the talent they have now, you didn't see a lot of people rooting for them. So I'm trying to figure out, why is people dogging out my Lakers, but where were these Kings fans at? And now that they reemerge. And then you see a lot of the Warrior fans that, oh, okay, well, now you're a Warrior fan because they won the championship. Then you hear an excuse. Oh, well, I'm rooting for Northern California. Man, I don't want to hear that. That's an excuse to root for the Warriors. I don't think and this is my prediction. This is just my opinion. I don't think the Warriors are going to be the same team that they are right now. It's either win now, or forget it. Cousins is not going to stay with the Warriors. I'm letting you know right now. And here's why. Somebody is going to pay him. Somebody is going to pay him. And you know what? The Warriors were brilliant. You have to take your hat off to them. They were brilliant. You know why? Because they got him for cheap. Cousins is healthy now. Look how dominant he is. He played, I think, 25 or 27 games. Look at what he's done since he's been there. He's averaged nothing but double digits since he's been there. So you mean to tell me scouts are not looking at that? People who are considering signing him next year, that no one's looking at that? I know if I'm the Lakers, I'm looking. So that's what's going to change the dynamic of the Warriors. And then also Draymond Green. Draymond Green is a really good basketball player. And he could do a lot defensively, no doubt. But with him getting tossed out of games, with him arguing with every call, and then you're not performing to the level that we know you're capable of performing because you're caught up with these bad calls. And then you get in the boot. I think he's going to be gone. I think the coach is tired of him. I think the organization is tired of him. They're going to let him go. And don't be surprised that Klay Thompson goes either. Because look, they'll probably win the championship this year, more than likely. So that'll make him what? Four-time champion? Now it's time to get paid. You think the Lakers are not going to pay him? He's not going to tell, and he's smart. He's not going to tell everybody, well, when free agency hits, I'm open, or I'm considering, or I'm thinking about it. No, because he's focused on the playoffs. And I hear a lot of the media say, ask him about free agency, ask Kevin Durant about free agency. I don't think Kevin Durant is going to leave Golden State. And if he does, it won't be to the Lakers. It won't be. I don't think so. I think Kyrie may come over. I think Anthony Davis may come over. But I don't think KD is going to come over. And if he does, wow, that's going to change a lot for the Lakers. But I think Magic Johnson is going to do everything he can to make this team a better basketball team. But when you talk about free agency, the Warriors are going to be in deep trouble if they don't win this year. Now, if they win this year, which I assume they do, then I think Kevin Durant will probably re-up again another year. I think maybe Klay Thompson, if he does re-up, it won't be a long-term deal. It'll probably be a short-term deal for more money. Because you can always get a player for more money on a short-term deal. Shifting gears. Let's talk about the NFL. The NFL with all the signings, with the draft picks coming up, I was talking to a good friend of mine, I think it was yesterday, and we talked about the NFL draft. And I think in my last segment or last episode, I talked about this. The number one pick, the Cardinals have the number one pick. And I'm telling you now, they're going to draft Kyler Murray. They're going to get Murray. They're not going to draft Bosa or anybody else. I think they need a quarterback like Murray. Murray does a lot for them, like I explained in my last podcast. He does a lot for them. He's the right choice. That's a no-brainer draft pick. And then 49ers are going to draft Bosa. And I think with those two picks, both teams, they get better. And what it's about, this draft to me, what this is about is it's about drafting a player that you can build around for the future. If you can't build around any player that you draft, then why draft him? Kyler Murray is a guy that I would like to build around. And here's the thing. I watched him play at Oklahoma last year. Pure dominance in the Big 12. Pure dominance. And then you got to think, they had Mayfield the year before that. Pure dominance. Look at what Mayfield did for the Browns. Now, when the Browns drafted him, I said, you got to be joking. I couldn't believe it. But the Browns saw something in him that we didn't see. Clearly, we didn't see. Guess what? Arizona sees something in Murray that we don't see. Now, don't get me wrong. Bosa is a really good football player defensively. And I think they could go either way and benefit either way. But if you're going to win, Bosa can't throw the ball for you. He can't run for you. But with this team needing a quarterback, and they have yet to have a proven quarterback since Kurt Warner, this is their guy. Now when you look at 49ers are going to draft Bosa. That's their guy. Because John Lynch, you guys got to realize, John Lynch has always been a defensive guy his whole career. He's been a defensive guy. So a guy like Bosa, you got the number two pick, Bosa's on the board. You cannot pass that up. You can't. You can't pass that up. And then the Raiders pick. I think the Raiders pick at four. Raiders, draft the guy from Kentucky and quit playing. Because I don't see where they move up two spots to get Murray. A friend of mine was telling me that. And like we're like going back and forth on a text. And I just told him, I said, look, I don't think that it would have been wise for the Raiders to draft Murray for this reason. You guys, the Raiders have already committed a lot of money to Carr. Come on. And why would you commit money to a quarterback that is not going to remain on your roster at least this year, or you're considering trading this year? It makes no sense. And then you're listening to John Gruden, and he's came out multiple times and said, Carr is our guy. So if Carr is your guy, then why would you draft a quarterback? At least that early. Now, I can understand them drafting a quarterback in the later rounds, absolutely. But why would you draft a quarterback with the fourth overall pick? I don't understand it. And I don't think that they would do that. I do believe they're going to get a call about that number four pick, because there may be a player that another team wants. And John Gruden may get lucky and end up having to maybe move down, get an additional pick, and then probably still end up with the player they want, which is probably the defensive tackle. I mean, you can never replace a Khalil Mack. And I'm not saying that Khalil Mack is replaceable. I just think that you fill the void by getting an outside linebacker, and there's a couple of them there. I think with the 17th, they don't have the 17th pick, but they have another. I guess they have the Cowboys pick later on in the draft. I think you go and get you another defensive player. You can't go wrong with defense. Now that I look at the Raiders roster, I think it's shaping up pretty well. But that's what I thought last year. And they were horrible. And it's a number of teams. It's not just the Raiders. I'm a big-time Cowboys fan. And guess what? The Cowboys are making strides to get better. They acquired Quinn from the Dolphins, but I read this article. I think the direction that Dallas is going is that they assume that they're going to be able to get things done with, you know, contract disputes and things like that, where you get Lawrence, DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, we already have Quinn. We already have Randy Gregory when he comes back from suspension. And I think right now the Cowboys in the second round, we have a second round pick. Cowboys need to go get a linebacker or somebody on defense. You have to. I don't want to see them draft another offensive player. We don't need it. We need defense, because in that division, we've proven many times we can't stop anybody. We hung in there with the Rams in the playoffs and got smoked. From top to bottom, the Rams have improved from top to bottom. What I'm still trying to figure out is why is Ndamukong Suh still a free agent? Nobody's went after him. He's still a good defensive player. And I think if he went to the Cowboys, if the Cowboys were just... The thing about Jerry Jones, he's going to have to open up those pockets. If you want to get better, if you want to win a championship, you have to open up your pockets. I've seen John Elway do it with Peyton Manning, and I think he spent $100 million the same year that they ended up winning the championship, the Super Bowl. Some people don't have $100 million. But if you want to win a championship, sometimes that's just what it takes. You just got to come up off the money. Dallas, I think when they traded for Amari Cooper, I didn't like the trade. I'm going to be honest. I didn't like the trade. But guess what? He did so well in half the season, I couldn't believe it. His route running is phenomenal. And when I look at his route running, I compare it to Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens had the same footwork. I mean, he was digging out of routes, getting open. That's a special player, Amari Cooper. I don't know what happened in Oakland. I don't know why he couldn't do it in Oakland. But, I mean, he looks like a whole total different receiver coming to Dallas. I also want to touch on the Odell Beckham trade with the Giants. Let's talk about that. Now, was it a great trade? Yes. And I know they say, well, no, it wasn't. You just traded the best receiver in the league. Yeah, they did. You know why? For a couple of reasons. One, we know there's $20 million guaranteed committed to Eli Manning right now at the quarterback position, okay? We know that he's on his way out. We know that. That's no secret, okay? We got Barkley. Barkley's a really good running back. He tore it up last year. Now you have, as a GM, to reassess your football team. You have to look at it like, okay, well, going forward, we had a horrible season. What can we do now if we're in a rebuilding stage? What do we do to get better? Who do we draft to get better? Who do we want taking snaps going into the following season? Going into the 2020 season. You hear somebody say, well, they're going to draft Dwayne Haskins. I think that's the route to go. That guy's a winner. He's been doing it for a long time out of Ohio State. I think that's the second best quarterback on the draft. You can't go wrong there. Now, there's going to be some teams that's going to call the Giants. There's going to be some teams that call the Raiders and say, hey, we want Haskins. What's your asking price? Now, I think if the Giants decide, look, you know what? This is a great offer for Haskins at number 6. We're going to go ahead and take the deal, and someone trades up to get him, I say pull the trigger and then draft Missouri Drew Lock. I like Drew Lock. I think he's a good athlete. He has great running. He's mobile. He can throw. He's really accurate. And look at what he did for Missouri, and they play in the SEC against teams like Alabama, Texas A&M, some of the top teams, LSU. He did really well against those teams. That's a really good quarterback over there. So I think he's the third best. I got him on my mock draft as the third best quarterback in this draft. I would draft him. I've seen some film on the guy that is the quarterback for Duke. That's a good player there. He's probably the fourth best quarterback in this draft. There's options there. So if you're in the top six, you have flexibility. And then the Giants have the number 17th pick. So now you say, well, what do you do with the 17th pick? I'm like, well, if I thought about it, I would draft. If I can get Haskins, I would draft a defensive player. Or go ahead and get Metcalf. If Metcalf is there at 17, if you can get Metcalf and your quarterback, Haskins, that's a good deal there. I'm not saying Metcalf replaces Beckham, because you can't replace a guy like that. But he fills the hole. They already have Shepard there in New York. The Giants will be okay if they go that route. I think that's a really good situation for them. Really good situation for them. Le'Veon Bell, the Jets. I like that move there. They got Sam Darnold. That's a young team over there. I think they're going to improve maybe by one game. I think they won, what, four or five games this year? They may be a six-win ball club at best. I think they've improved their running game. I just don't think one player is going to make them a 10-win team right away. They're going to have to add more pieces to that as time goes by. Shifting gears to this March Madness. This has been on my mind for the last couple of days, and I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. So Duke is out. North Carolina, out. The one thing about the NCAA is that, well, March Madness rather, is that you can enter the tournament as a number one seed and be the best team. And guess what? You get whooped. The problem is that in the NCAA, a lot of teams, they come to play. I mean, you can play well all year and be that number one seed and then get smoked in the tournament. I'm going to be honest. I did not see Auburn this good. I didn't see it. I didn't see Texas Tech this good either. But I'm going to make a prediction right now. It's going to be Texas Tech, and it's going to be Auburn in the Final Four championship for the title. And I say Auburn wins the title. They're unstoppable right now. And I don't think they're going to let anybody in their way to stop it. They're too close, too close. Michigan State, I'm going to touch on that, okay? Because I hear a lot of media outlets say stuff about Zion Williams. Duke survived a lot of the games that they probably should have lost, okay? I will say this. Michigan State came to play, and they were just 1 point better. Well, it's not that they were 1 point better, in my opinion. It's the fact that Duke did not play 40 minutes of basketball. That's why Auburn is in the Final Four and not Duke, because Auburn played 40 minutes of basketball. Duke didn't play 40 minutes of basketball. And like I said at the beginning of my show today, is that you have to play all the way through. If the game is that close and it comes down to one bad call, then how does one call change the game, the narrative of the game, if you didn't come in and play with pure dominance? I have a hard time understanding that. So at this point, I'm like, well, you know what? Duke is a really good team. And I had them winning the whole thing because I felt they were the best team from top to bottom. They had the best starting five that you can get in college basketball. And congratulations to St. Mary's for making it. I just want to do a shout out. UC Irvine, they won their first game, moved on to the next round. So shout out to them. those are programs that are overlooked just because of the fact that they play in a horrible conference. They're not playing in the powerhouse conference, so we tend to overlook them. I'm one of them, so I'm just going to say that. Duke will be back next year. The recruiting is going to be crazy. So is Kentucky. I read something also, or I saw it on ESPN yesterday, where they talked about Calipari getting a lifetime contract with Kentucky. He already signed it. Calipari, in my opinion, and I've watched him, I've watched his whole career, and it goes all the way back to UMass when he was coaching Marcus Camby. Calipari is one of the, in my opinion, he's up there with the Jim Boeheim, Mike Krzyzewski, Tom Izzo, all those guys. He's up there as one of the best college coaches you can actually play for. And I like his philosophy. And I remember him on an interview with ESPN. They were talking about how does he talk to the people? How does he go and recruit? How does he talk to the parents as far as getting their kid to commit to Kentucky? And he said, one of the things that I do is I go to their home, talk to the parents, and I'll let the player know right away, hey, if you're not ready to play on ESPN every night and give everything you have on live television, this is not the program for you. Right away. Now, from a recruiting standpoint, why would you tell a kid that? Why would you tell a kid, literally, if you can't do this, then you're not ready for that? That's kind of a risk, because it's like, okay, well, I don't want to play for a coach that probably does not think I can play for him, or doesn't think I'm really that good. And guess what? The same guy he tells that to is the same guy that ends up signing with him the next day. Now, that goes to show you how good of a coach he really is. And I remember that he had an interview where he said, we're not undefeated. We just haven't been beaten yet. Now, I've never heard a coach say that. And I would go, and if I was a top recruit, I'd sign with Calipari. I wouldn't even think twice about it. I would sign with Krzyzewski. I wouldn't even think about it. I'd sign with Tom Izzo, Boeheim, all of them right away. Wouldn't even think about it. Those are the best programs in the country. No doubt about it. But I think what Calipari got, he deserved a lifetime. He can go out his way. He deserved that. He's done a lot in college basketball. He deserves that. Tom Izzo, congratulations, Tom Izzo. This guy lost a lot last year as far as his team. Bridges lost him to the draft, and then he reloaded. And he's in the Final Four. He took down Duke. That's an awesome season when you sit back and think about it. I don't care if they make it or don't make it. That Tom Izzo... Wow, that's all I can say. Shifting gears to baseball, MLB. Now, I've watched a few teams. I've watched the Dodgers, of course. I've watched the Giants. And those are the two teams I want to talk about for right now. The Giants pretty much lost 100 games last year. Just maybe shy of 100 games. And I didn't see any big offseason moves that they made. And they pretty much have a really good farm system, so they really don't need to go out there and spend a bunch of money to bring guys in. I know they have a lot of money committed to Johnny Cueto, which to me was a bad contract. Bumgarner is still a really good pitcher. I like Bumgarner. But the Giants are going to be tough again this year, in case you didn't think so. The Giants are always tough. I don't know how they do it. And you look at them on paper, they're not like the Giants. What is this guy talking about? The Giants find a way to win. They find a way to win. The Dodgers don't need to make any changes right now as far as their team. We got Seager back, which...
I'm happy about. So that gives us kind of flexibility in the infield. I think Justin Turner has to play better from what I've seen so far. I know we're only a few games in, but Justin Turner has to play well. He has to. He has to go back to and have that all-star caliber year that he had last year. I don't know what's going on. I'm just not seeing it. When I look at the pitching, Kershaw, he's going to get healthy. We're getting Kenley Jensen back, our closer. So hopefully the Dodgers show that we're going to be able to close games out. I look at Boston. Boston's not playing well, and we're talking about the world champions. And I know it's still early. It's 182 games. I know it's still early. I guess the expectation's high. The Yankees are playing well. A lot of teams, even the Phillies, they're playing really well. And I want people to realize, too, about the Phillies is that the Phillies were already good. They had from all nine positions, they had top players all nine positions. They were just young rookies. Same thing with Atlanta. Atlanta was already good. Nine positions. And you add an all-star power hitter like Harper. Oh, man. I'm not saying that they're going to win the World Series, but they are contenders right now. That just changed the landscape of baseball. I mean, they gave Bryce Harper $330 million. I don't know. I can't say I would have given him $330 million, but I'll tell you this. The Phillies got them a hero for some time right now. This is going to be a tough season for a lot of the teams. The Padres, it's like, come on, man. You're telling me that Machado is going to make them a playoff team? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's going to take more than that. I do like their pitching rotation. It's pretty good. So we'll see. It's early. Just kind of wanted to throw my thoughts in there. It's early. Shifting gears to boxing. Let's go on to boxing here, because I'm going to close my segment out here with boxing. When you look at Terrence Crawford against Amir Khan, that's going to be a pay-per-view fight. And I just want to make this clear. Amir Khan is a veteran in this sport. But he hasn't shown me anything. Hasn't shown me anything. Terrence Crawford has beaten everybody. Everybody. He moved up because he got bored. He was whooping everybody. Now, I think Amir Khan is going to compete, but I don't think he's going to beat Terrence Crawford. I don't think so. I don't think so. Terrence Crawford is that good. Period. So that's my prediction right now. Terrence Crawford wins by decision. Scorecards. Also that night, Danny Garcia and Adrian Granados, which is I believe it's going to be it's basically a tune-up fight for Garcia. I think Garcia wins. Also by decision. Robert Eastern is going to fight for the WBO lightweight regular championship. He's fighting Barthelemy. And I think Robert Eastern is going to win that fight for this reason. I think Mikey Garcia was a wake-up call for him. I think he understands what he has to do. I think he's going to be sharper. And I think that he's not going to hold back. He's going to let his punches go. And I think Robert Garcia is going to get... Robert Eastern is going to get the job done. April 27th. So be looking out for that. Canelo Alvarez versus Daniel Jacobs. And that's a unification fight right there. The WBC, WBO, IBF middleweight championships on the line there. I'm just going to say this. Daniel Jacobs is not ready. I'm going to tell you that right now. Daniel Jacobs is not ready. And I'm going to tell you why he's not ready. Canelo lost one fight so far. Otherwise, we're looking at another undefeated fighter. He lost to Mayweather. That was it. Ever since he lost to Mayweather, he has beaten everybody also. And then he moved up in weight to fight somebody to snatch another belt. If you're not on board with Canelo Alvarez, you don't know boxing. This dude is not joking around. I think Daniel Jacobs gets knocked out. I have Canelo winning. Knockout. And he's going to unify all the belts. And all I'm going to say is, who's next? Who's next? I don't think anybody wants to smoke. And I'll tell you something else. Jared Hurd, if you somehow win your fight, why don't you, if you're that good, why don't you step up and fight Canelo? You're not going to do it. Now, when people ask him about it, ladies and gentlemen, he's gonna blow some smoke. Well, you know, my teams have to come together. You know, we can make that fight happen. Yeah, that's a future fight for me. I'm definitely looking for that. No, you're not, because that's the same thing that Keith Thurman said. Oh yeah, you know, I know this is the welterweight division. Everybody wants to fight me. Blase, blase. Nah, you don't want the smoke. You don't want the smoke. I'm gonna tell you this, Triple G is one of the best middleweights out there. And people said the first fight, Canelo lost. I don't think so. I think he won both of them. Period. I think he won both of them. But Triple G is still the second best middleweight out there. Period. And I don't think Jared Hurd can beat Triple G. So, what chances does he have against Canelo? He doesn't. I don't think anybody can beat him. I don't think anybody can beat Canelo. That's a guy that, I mean, I'm only saying that because I've watched him. I've actually watched him just dominate fighters. Man, it was ridiculous. You know, his power punches, it's man, I can't say enough about that. So tune into that May 4th. I'm definitely going to check that out. Canelo versus Jacobs. May 11th, Jared Hurd, like I was just talking about. He's fighting Julian Williams. And then that's going to be May 11th. But May 18th is what I'm looking forward to. Deontay Wilder versus Dominic Brazil. I'm just going to tell you this right now. This is a tune-up fight for Wilder. I don't even know why this fight's even happening. This is ridiculous. They said, oh, well, this is the mandatory. You're telling me, out of all the contenders out there, Dominic Brazil is a mandatory. You got to be joking. If you think Tyson Fury got knocked out, that's what we're going to be looking at against Dominic Brazil. He's going to knock Dominic Brazil out. That fight shouldn't even be taking place. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't think Dominic Brazil is better than King Kong Ortiz. And that's a bad boy right there. That's the second best heavyweight in the world, in my opinion. And I don't think Tyson Fury can beat Ortiz. I guarantee it. Because if you get caught with one of Ortiz's hit, you're done. You can hang it up. Right now, everybody's talking about Joshua. Anthony Joshua this, Anthony Joshua that. Now, I do respect what he said. I think it was on a podcast where he talked about he's got all the belts. He's absolutely right. He's got all the belts. But who did you fight to get all the belts? Deontay Wilder is knocking folks out. He knocked out Fury, and that fight should have been done. That fight should have, I don't even know how he got up. But I would like to think this. Anthony Joshua, I wouldn't say he's afraid of Wilder, but I would say that I think it's fair to say that he's not in a hurry. because he knows Deontay Wilder is going to take care of his business. And I think that the buildup for that fight is going to come down to what they're doing right now, which is, you know, they're fighting whoever, the mandatories or whatever, because now that delays the conversation as far as getting the fight done. The fight's going to get done. I believe so. I think it's going to be a two-fight deal like they talked about, which I think is fair. And what I hope in the contract is that each fighter gets an automatic rematch, because that's what it's going to come down to. I think if it's a one-fight deal, no rematch, and the champion only gets the rematch, I don't like that contract. Because everybody wants to see a great fight, and everybody's going to be able to see Deontay Wilder actually fight without worrying if he loses or not. We're gonna see it. I hope that they don't fight in the UK right away, because if they fight in the UK right away, I feel like Joshua's going to win, but he's going to win on those scorecards. But if they fight in New York, or if they fight at the Barclays Center, or if they fight at the Staples Center or Las Vegas, I think that not only the fighters are going to make 50, 60 million, but I also think that we're going to get a great fight. We're going to get a great fight. And I'm not taking nothing away from Joshua. I just think Joshua is not a threat to Wilder, but Wilder is a threat to Joshua. Just on the fact that you get caught with one of Wilder's hits, also, you're done. You're done. You might as well just hang it up. And I've seen Joshua, he could take a hit, but he hasn't taken very many hits. So I think I think he would struggle in the fight if he gets caught and taking more hits than he's throwing out. I think that's where Joshua's going to be in trouble. And I say the same thing also for Wilder. Wilder cannot be too relaxed against Anthony Joshua. Now they're talking about this guy named Jarrell, Big Baby. I guess they're fighting June 1 in New York City. Anthony Joshua. I think Anthony Joshua is going to knock him out. I think Anthony Joshua is going to knock him out. I'm not going to lie to you. I think he's going to knock him out. Just because the competition, just because Big Baby hasn't fought anybody. I think if he would have fought Wilder and lost and still was able to get a contract and get a deal with Anthony Joshua like he does now to fight, I think things would have been very, very different, just because from an experience standpoint, he would be more competitive against Anthony Joshua because the level of competition that he's fought. But I don't think he's going to beat Joshua. And on top of that, they're not going to let Joshua lose on the fact that it would hurt any opportunity he has with Wilder as far as making that money. But they will fight, but I just think the build up to the fight, the money, the titles, everything. So don't entertain Miller winning. I don't think it's going to happen. That's my show for today. Thank you for tuning in to episode 4. Episode 5 is coming real soon. See you next time.